Hello and welcome to the very first Greenwich podcast, sponsored by Jules Holland and his Rhythm and Blues Orchestra. I'm Alex Mitchell, long-time Greenwich resident and short-time podcast presenter, and I'm going to be your guide. This month's podcast contains a bit of everything I like about Greenwich: comedy, history, beer, and gardening. I'll be talking to poet and comedian Tim Key about the Greenwich Comedy Festival and hearing from some of Greenwich's guerrilla gardeners. Nick Baker will be sampling the kind of beer they drank in local boozers in Tudor times, and local blogger the Greenwich Phantom will serve up a saucy tale of Regency rudeness. First up, comedy. The Greenwich Comedy Festival starts on Monday, the 6th of September, and features a host of big names, including Bill Bailey, Tom Green, and the Edinburgh Comedy Award-winning Tim Key. I spoke to Tim ahead of his appearance at the festival.
So did you come to Greenwich often?
Well, first time I've been. Quite like it. No, I do. I do come here. Yeah, when my parents come here, I come to London, I bring them to Greenwich.
Do you think it's that kind of a place, Greenwich, where you take your parents? Or...
Yeah, it always seems pretty necessary to bring them here. Yeah. Yeah, they like it here.
So a sort of classic Greenwich day for you, family-wise, would be...
That would be... drive to Greenwich. About half an hour looking for a parking space. With my dad getting more and more furious and my mum making suggestions. And then park, not in Greenwich per se, but quite close to Greenwich.
What sort of Lewisham
or? Mud chute. Yeah, walk to Greenwich. Then it's dark, so you walk back or get a cab back. So I've never actually seen Greenwich.
Would you normally head into one of the sort of Latin-influenced restaurants?
Pizza Express was where we went last time.
Right, yeah.
Was it Pizza Express? Oh, no, they had vouchers. So we went to, what's that one that sounds really posh? Café Rouge.
Right.
I think we went to Café Rouge. We'd go to the park, and sometimes we'd come in with my brother and his wife and family as well, and fly kites and things.
Might you go and see the deer?
Is there a deer here?
The deer at the top?
Is there?
Yeah, there's more than one.
Oh, right.
There's a few of them. In the deer
park. I thought there might just be a shackled deer.
Tied to the Elizabethan oak.
Yeah, with its feet chopped off.
So are you going to write a poem about Greenwich, do you think?
Yeah, I suppose maybe I will. I think it's quite easy to write a poem about Greenwich. I think you're probably right. There's quite a lot to get your teeth into.
All the ships and stuff.
Well, the ships, as you say, the clocks aspect.
Yeah.
The fact that I bring my parents here. I could link it all together. Put some of this in it. Less a poem, really, and we'll just sort of talking about Greenwich for a bit.
Yeah. Well, people who live in Greenwich quite like talking about Greenwich, I think.
Are you from
quite
Greenwich?
Smug about it. I am, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. Yes, I've been lived here for a long time.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Six years, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what's the thing about Greenwich?
Well, there's a big thing about how you pronounce it, and I think I pronounce it wrong. You're supposed to pronounce it Greenwich.
Are you?
Yes. And if you don't pronounce it Greenwich, it means you're not a real Greenwich
person.
Greenwich. Yeah. And I always think that sounds horrible, but it's very, the people who pronounce it Greenwich really look down on the other people.
Oh,
so
I've not
how
heard
you
anyone
can
do
tell
that.
A real okay. person from Greenwich.
Greenwich. Mm. I think that you're teasing me a bit. I mean, I think you're probably trying to get me to say, hello, Greenwich. I don't think that's going to go that well.
You're silly.
Yeah. So is that how I should open?
Yeah.
Hello, Greenwich.
Yeah, it has to be Greenwich like that as well. Make your mouth look
right.
A bit weird.
Now to a quasi-legal trend that's sweeping the nation and leaving a mark here in Greenwich. Groups of guerrillas tooled up for action swoop on bits of waste ground and, well, prettify them. Guerrilla gardening is all the rage, and I met activists Peter Hume and Kate Lonergan at the end of my road, in a space that might have been full of prams and mattresses and is instead full of sunflowers and globe artichokes.
I started involving myself in this little patch of ground simply because my own garden was too small.
So started it just yourself as a kind
No,
of
I was actually talking to the ladies that were initially from the Greenwich Society initially started doing it, and they asked me to join them. At that stage I was busy, but I only do part-time work now, so I've got time on my hands. So I took over when they started leaving for one reason or another, mainly health reasons. Well, as far as I can see, health reasons,
right.
Or personal reasons.
And you don't have a kind of grand planting scheme, I assume. You just kind of throw anything in you like the look of.
That was one of my failures in not planning it better. For instance, there's nowhere now for a compost heap, which is criminal in this day and age.
Well, yes, or a wormery, at least.
Yes.
And when people come by, do they usually stop and often say, yes, you know, what's going on? And
I've lived in Greenwich for over 30 years, and I've met more people in the last 2 years, or said hello to them, ever before.
Yes. And do you spend a lot of time up here?
In spring, it was a lot, yes. Mm. Kind of a couple of hours, perhaps a day, or one long session and nothing for a couple. Mm. Now it's a bit quieter.
In a way, this is a sort of positive graffiti you're doing here, isn't it? Making a
yes,
nice
statement.
A sort of even more pretty version of sort of Banksy art.
Yes.
Do you see yourself as a sort of horticultural Banksy at all?
No. No, I can't draw to save my life.
And you also had some involvement, didn't you?
Oh, tiny amount. Not really very much. I mean, I've been doing some other stuff around the corner.
Oh, really? A different
Well, it's more for the pub, really, at the end of the road, so that they wanted the view for everybody in the area to be quite pretty, you know. So I did that for them.
Do you ever get people coming by and just saying, can I just jump over the wall and help?
Several people have said they might give a hand, but for one reason or another haven't. Mm. Nobody's actually literally joined in. Mm. I walked up here with his or her trowel and joined in. Mm. And as you can see, I wish somebody would, looking at the weeds down there.
Right. You need sort of guerrilla hoeing, really.
Yeah, hoeing. The other thing is, I mean, I have to say, because I've lived around here 20-odd years, and when I first moved in, I started doing the window box thing, which wasn't a big deal, really, so much then. But I sort of tend to go completely mad on my
Kate
window boxes.
Has the best window boxes you have ever seen. I mean, really amazing, your window boxes. People on the street have now copied you. It raises the game of everyone because they're like, oh, my, you know, box balls look a bit rubbish now.
But it's great because there is a spirit of that on our street, and because it's a long straight street. In fact, actually, it just softens it.
Maybe we should have a kind of annual window box festival, like a competition on the street or something, and get everyone doing it, and then have like a party at the end.
That'd be quite fun.
It would be really nice.
Yeah.
The artists round here have an open studio weekend, or a bit longer than that, I think. Yeah. Perhaps people could have an open garden day.
That's a really good idea. That's a great idea. A few cups of tea and a few rich tea biscuits.
Exactly.
What more do we need?
You're listening to the Greenwich Podcast, sponsored by Jules Holland and his Rhythm and Blues Orchestra. Now for a bit of history. You may be familiar with the Greenwich Phantom, a blogger who writes about all things Greenwich. I've been a fan for ages and I've tried to get him onto the podcast. The problem is the Phantom is a shadowy figure, fiercely protective of his anonymity. However, I've managed to persuade the Phantom to write a piece for the podcast, provided that it's read by an actor.
Henry VIII chasing Anne Boleyn around an oak tree that's still there, if a little horizontal these days. Elizabeth I daintily treading on Sir Walter Raleigh's nice new velvet cloak. The spindly-legged James I and his wife, Anne of Denmark, whose poor shooting ability led to the building of the Queen's house. But Greenwich has seen its fair share of royal black sheep too, and let's face it, they're the ones that are the most fun. And tucked away, in one of the furthest corners of the park, easily missed unless you're looking for it, lies a little reminder of Greenwich's naughtier past. It was no secret that the Prince Regent, later to become George IV, and his wife, Princess Caroline of Brunswick, didn't get on. He hated the sight of her, though frankly he was no oil painting himself, and banished her off to the country so that he could continue his philandering in peace. To get her own back, she started to live it up at her new Greenwich gaff, Montague House, now flattened and back to being part of the Royal Park, and managed to get herself a bit of a reputation into the bargain. Right from the start, she was well aware that she wasn't considered the right kind of girl in royal circles. When the Earl of Malmesbury travelled to Brunswick to collect her in the first place, he described her as dowdy, stockily built, coarsely spoken, and washing so little as to be malodorous. George had only agreed to marry his cousin for her cash anyway. She'd arrived in Greenwich to find that far from actually greeting her himself, he'd sent his mistress, Lady Jersey, to pick her up. And even she was late. As soon as he set eyes on her, the indelicate prince declared himself sick and called for some brandy. She was equally unimpressed, calling him fat and nothing like his picture. It doesn't seem impossible that the claim made by the Duke of Wellington is true, that Lady Jersey herself chose Caroline, figuring that after one look at his new bride, George would stay particularly loyal to his mistress. After the briefest of consummations while she conceived Princess Charlotte, Caroline was packed off back to Greenwich. There she held parties and soirees, very daring affairs at which she apparently wore rather less than the going amount of clothing, and at which all manner of saucy events occurred. She even had a giant bath made, at a time when few people washed at all, and threw a few bashes in that too. George became so angry, jealous perhaps, that she was having a better time than him, that he sent her packing after a very public trial where she was accused of adultery. Montague House was razed to the ground in George's fit of princely pique. In a beautiful irony, however, the woman whose chief fault in George's eyes was that she smelled lives on in Greenwich. However, the woman whose chief fault in George's sunken affair, complete with most of its tiles and little steps leading down into it, for many years it was filled in and used as a rather unsubtle flowerbed, until, as part of the millennium celebrations, those good burghers of Greenwich, the Friends of Greenwich Park, excavated it, and it is, at last, restored to a dignity that it may never have had in life.
The Greenwich Phantom, whose brilliant blog you can read at www.thegreenwichphantom.co.uk. The Phantom blogs on everything Greenwich and will definitely be back on the podcast, complete with disguise. As for us, our site's at www.greenwichpodcast.com. Finally, greenwichpodcast.com. Finally, finally,
now we've got in front of us a glass brewed here, and we should say that the old brewery continues that tradition of brewing here, maybe 700 years of brewing on or around this site in Greenwich.
Yeah, that's right. The beer that you've got in front of you here that we brew on site is the Keller beer, which is our ongoing house beer. That's brewed here in the microbrewery using East Anglian barley, East Kent hops, water and yeast.
The Tudor beer that we've been talking about, the beer that would have been brewed here in Henry VIII's time, what would that have tasted like?
Well, we're guessing, because we don't have a TARDIS. It's practically certain it would have been dark brown in colour, because the malt would have been dried over an open fire. It's equally 95% that it would have been quite smoky, because it was dried over a wood fire. It would have been quite likely to have picked up some lactobacillus, these type of bacteria, in the wooden vessels that it was brewed and stored in, and that would have given it a sharp lactic acid flavour. Not modern flavours at all.
You're half Sherlock Holmes, half brewer.
Well, I'm interested in the history behind what I'm doing.
Okay, so we've got some of this in front of us. Is this the kind of general ale that the public would have drunk, or is this the stuff that Henry VIII would have drunk?
This is a concoction which I've put together to try and possibly replicate what Tudor beer might have tasted like.
This is what the groovy Tudors would have been drinking.
Managed to your premium lager rather than your pint of mild.
Podcast. Right, I'm going to try it. Managed to finally.
It's not podcast. A modern taste, this. And, managed to finally. I'll let you try to describe it.
Podcast. Well, it is smoky. Managed to what you said about
lactobacillus will very readily live in wooden casks and tuns, and will create some lactic acid in the beer, which will give it a real definite distinctive tang.
Well, there's a slight sourness.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what the lactic acid is doing.
I'd quite like to try it with food.
Mutton or venison. You've got to think Tudor. You've got to think big flavours in food, matured meat. They used to use strong spices, particularly in winter when the you know, the very gamey flavours of the food became predominant. And this would stand up well to very strong cheese or game or anything like that.
Most importantly, why Greenwich? Why has Greenwich got a strong beer connection?
The royals, be they Saxon, be they Norman, be they medieval, Plantagenet and Tudor, have always been interested in Greenwich. It's the royal connection. Greenwich essentially grew up around royal residences. I mean, the other Greenwich connection is the Navy from the time of Henry V. He founded the Navy here and built the naval dockyards at Deptford that were there right until after the First World War. There would have been small breweries in Greenwich and Deptford to service the Navy and the shipyards. The brewery built on this site where we are was built specifically to service the naval pensioners. There would have been plenty of breweries here servicing the whole community. There was merchant shipping here, and as well as naval, and the breweries here would have serviced all that maritime traffic, definitely.
So there we are. If you want to trip back in time, if you visit Greenwich or if you live here, don't worry too much about going to the Greenwich Observatory. Come down to the old brewery and you can have a trip in a glass of Tudor beer. Cheers.
Cheers. We don't normally offer this as a speciality. It's a very acquired taste, I think.
Well, that's it for our first podcast. I hope you liked it. Next time, market forces. What's the future for Greenwich Market and a new species of Grow Your Own? Homegrown truffles, anyone? Until then, with thanks to our sponsors, Jules Holland and his Rhythm and Blues Orchestra. Goodbye.